Thank you, Jesus. Can we just, I tell you what, church, let's just in the presence that we're in right now, let's just continue to sing. Here's what I'm going to encourage you. If there's a need in the house, in your life, I encourage you this morning to sing those words. Let's just sing it again as a church. But before we petition the throne for those needs, let's sing how great and how worthy and how awesome our mighty God is. Would you agree with me today? Let's just sing that one more time. Christine, would you lead us?
You are awesome in this place, mighty God.
Hallelujah.
You are awesome in this place, Abba Father.
Raise him up, church.
You are worthy of all.
Father, you are worthy to be praised, and we lift you up this morning and we say thank you. Thank you for being so awesome. Awesome in this place, but God, you are awesome everywhere. God, you are awesome in our hearts. You are awesome in this building. You are awesome joining us online. God, you are awesome in this place, in the vessels that call upon your name. You are awesome. No matter our circumstances, Lord, you are awesome. And Lord, you always are worthy to be praised. So Father, this morning we give you thanks. We lift up any needs in the body this morning. We just pray in the name of Jesus, and then in the strong name of Jesus, and by the power of his shed blood, we pray healing, health, wholeness, and restoration, God. No matter what it is, Lord Jesus, we speak life and we speak Jesus over those things this morning. And we just pray, God, your presence, your touch this morning. For those that are joining us online, maybe sick in body, Lord, or unable to attend, God, we just continue to pray, God, health and wholeness for them, Lord. Father, we just thank you this morning that we can gather together as a church family to fellowship, to worship, to encourage and to build up, Lord, the body of Christ. Father, we just pray for your anointing to be upon us this morning, to be upon this service. And God, we want it to, Lord, just be about you. It's all about you, Jesus, because, Lord, you are worthy and you are awesome as we have sung, God, and we will continue to sing your praises. Lord, we ask this in your precious and holy name. And everyone said, amen, amen. You may be seated, and as we continue this morning, I just want to encourage you, if you've not received a communion cup from in the back, thank you. I would encourage you, if you just haven't done that yet, you can maybe lift up your hand and say, hey, I need one, and they'll be quick to come down and give you one. And if you're joining us online this morning, I want you to always know and remember that you can always partake communion with us. And yes, it's always something that I would encourage each and every person to be in person for, that because there's something powerful that as we come together, as we see that modeled, that Jesus models that with his disciples, and we see it reiterated in 1 Corinthians where the Apostle Paul is talking about it and gives us clear instruction on that. But if you're joining us online, I would encourage you to grab something. Doesn't matter. Grab something to partake communion with us this morning. One of the things that the Apostle Paul does instruct us And he says, hey, make sure when you come together, because this is a corporate thing, even though we might be joining online, you are a part in spirit here. It's a corporate thing that we do together. It's with all of us to do it together as the body of Christ. But Paul talks about that, and he says, I want you to take inventory, he essentially says. I want you to make sure that your heart's in the right place. There's no greater significance than what Paul just stated in that phrase, in that verse. Take inventory of your heart. Let's do this in the right way as Jesus has commanded us. That's how important Paul talks and describes communion. This is no light matter. And different churches and denominations, we do it different ways, and that's fine. What we need to focus on in this moment is where my heart is and why are we doing this? It is one of the most sacred things that we partake in. One of the most longest lasting acts as the church, if you will. Functions of worship, if you will. Sacred. For thousands of years, the church has been doing this very thing. Don't lose sight of that moment. What I would encourage you this morning is I want to pray real quick, but I want to encourage you, let's be right with the Lord. Let's be right with one another. Let's be in unity, Paul says, together, as we do this, as we partake, to do that in unity as the body of Christ. This is no small thing. This is important to us. We value this. So would you agree with me together as I'm going to just pray real quick, and then we're going to partake together. But let's just examine ourselves for a moment. Father God, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, Father, I just pray, God, that in this moment that we would be reminded of, Lord, your sacrifice, that we would be reminded of your instruction that you give us, and that we would be reminded of your grace and love and forgiveness. I pray that each and every person that, Lord, as we engage in, as we partake together, Father, that Lord, that we would be in right relationship with you and right relationship with one another, because we do this together as the body of Christ. So Father, I pray, just bless this moment and these moments to come. Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 11, where he's actually referencing Jesus sitting there with his disciples. And the instruction is really, let's do this as Jesus did this, essentially. And he says, as Jesus sat there at the table, he says, Jesus took the bread. And Jesus made this incredible illustration, connection, example. But I don't really fully feel that the disciples truly understood it, even at that moment. He says, this is my body, which is going to be broken. It's going to be bruised. It's going to be pierced. He says, this is my body. He says, do this in remembrance of me. Let's break and then let's partake together. Then Paul describes Jesus at the table again. And Jesus takes the cup. And Jesus also uses a connection, illustration, a comparison, if you will. And he says, this is my blood. And he also says that this is now the new covenant. And again, I'm sure the disciples sat there and, okay. But boy, you and I have that ability to sit here and to reference and to reflect upon, because we know and we can thank him for his blood that was shed on the cross. Amen. He says, do this in remembrance of me. Let's partake together. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Church, let's just praise him. Let's just continue to praise him as we just continue to just thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your blood. Thank you for your body. Thank you, God, that you voluntarily, willingly, and lovingly chose the cross for me and every other person. God, that you chose to do that for us, Lord. So I pray this morning, blessings on each and every person here. I ask God as we transition, God, in this service, but God, we would just be filled with the love, God, that you have for us. And as we walked through communion and what it means, God, I pray that we would not lose sight of that and that we would always, God, take time to take inventory of our hearts and to be in right relationship with you and to remember the sacrifice that you gave of your blood and that you gave of your body and what it means for each and every person, what it means for humanity, God. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we just lift that up, Lord. We thank you. We ask this in your name. Amen. Amen. Can we just give him a praise offering this morning? Would you just clap with me? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Christine. Well, good morning again. And this is always a great honor and privilege to be with you in the morning. And again, I always make the joke when I preach, I'm not Pastor Brad. I don't know if you know that or not. So we'll continue to do that joke because it's not old, right? So, but I'm thankful. Christine and I and the kids were away last week, so it was good to have a little bit of time away. I will say, if you're looking for a very restful, relaxing, rejuvenating place to go with a 4- and a 6-year-old, I would do an indoor water park if I were you, right? Because that is the most absolutely relaxing place to go, right? No, it was not. It was not. But it was fun, and it was enjoyable. My kids had a blast, so we had a good time, and it was just great. So thank you so much for allowing us to go, and again, I always say thank you for Pastor Brad to give me the honor and the privilege of serving here in the capacity. Well, first of all, let me again introduce myself. My name is Pastor Mike, and I have the privilege of serving as one of the associate pastors along with my wife, Christine, and I just want to welcome you. I want to welcome everybody online. If this is your first time here, we're so thankful you're here this morning. One of the best ways that you can connect with us, probably the easiest way, is to pull out your phone, and then in the front of you, if you're here in the house, you'll see a little sticker on the pew in front of you. There's a little QR code. You can just open up your camera phone and scan that. It'll take you right to a link, and that's just a great way that we can connect with you if this is your first time here. We want to bless you and honor. And then take that on your phone, and then you could just take that back to our VIP center right here in the lobby and the foyer area, and they're going to bless you with a little gift box that we've prepared for you. I think there's a Chick-fil-A gift card, some chocolates maybe, I'm not sure, but we want to just say thank you for being here. We always say it this way: if you're looking for a home church, we would say prayerfully consider making Cross Point your church, home, and family, because again, it is a family, amen? Just as communion is, right? Like we do that as a corporate body, as a family. So again, welcome this morning. I want to just do a quick couple announcements, and I want to get into something really important that we need to talk about. So One of the things that I want to remind us is, ladies, time apart is coming up actually less than a month now. It's September 26th through 27th. If you've not gone, I would encourage you, go. If you've not signed up yet, I would implore you, sign up, right? So you can do that right out here at the VIP Center. You can do that through the app. You can do it through on our bulletin, I believe. There's probably a little QR code somewhere on there. Maybe not, but in our resource center. So just go back there, ask the ladies, ask our VIP, our First Impressions team, and they will get you connected to sign up. Ladies, I would encourage you to do that. It's powerful, powerful, very short. Like it's a half day and full day, I think. Maybe two half days smooshed together for a full day of ministry. But I can tell you from experience, not because I've been there, but my wife's been there, and I can say that emphatically you will be blessed. So ladies, I would encourage you to sign up for Time Apart. That is our Ohio Ministry Network's women's ministry conference retreat, if you will. So do that. I would encourage you to do that. All right, so let me talk about what's upcoming here at Crosspoint. And if you've been anywhere around the building this summer on Wednesday nights, you've noticed something. For the last several weeks, we've not been here, actually, which has been nice because we've been able to kind of catch our breath, have a little bit of a rest. But can I just say, September 10th, we are going to be relaunching our fall semester of our Journey Night. So if you've been blessed by our Wednesday night ministry, which we call Journey Night, we are relaunching that for the fall semester, September 10th at 6 p.m., right? So what does that mean? Well, let me share some updates that Pastor Brad has given me the freedom to do. So I'm not speaking out of turn. I'm excited for what's coming up this fall, and I would encourage you to be there, to be a part of it, to grow, because Journey Night is all about growth. We're on a journey together, and what we do on Wednesday nights is vital and impactful for our church. So September 10th at 6 o'clock, what happens? Well, that's actually not the calendar first Wednesday of the month, but it's actually the first night that we'll be meeting in September on our Wednesday night, and what we've done is we've dubbed that First Wednesday. So let's keep that in mind. So at 6 o'clock, Journey Night, on the first Wednesday that we'll be meeting here in September, on the 10th, we're going to have a dinner. And we've been having our dinners for the last several years, and it's gone really well. We had really good turnouts for that. We've had good enthusiasm, good participation, and we've loved that. So what we've planned on, and we'll continue to do it for this semester, is we would like to continue that on our first Wednesdays. And so throughout the semester, September, October, November, December, every first Wednesday at 6 o'clock, we're going to have a meal. We're going to come together and fellowship with food, and the cafe will be open, and we're going to just have a good time, 6 o'clock. And then every first Wednesday at 6, we'll do the dinner. And then at 7, here's what's going to happen. We're going to come into the worship center, and we're going to have a night of praise and worship, a message, similar to, if you recall, our Crosspoint Alive services. If you remember those, we did Alive in the Body, Alive in Healing, Alive in the Spirit. We've done several different themes of that. And so similar to that, so every first Wednesday, we're going to do a dinner at 6 and then a service at 7. And we'll shift a little bit as far as that, what that theme might look like. But we're excited for First Wednesday. We're going to call them First Wednesdays, and our first one is September 10th. Can I just invite you personally? Come. Be blessed. Come be a part of it. God's moving, and I'd love for each and every one of you to be a part of our ministry nights on First Wednesday, Journey Nights here in the fall semester. So what happens on the other nights? What happens all the rest of the Wednesdays throughout the month? So that's what's going to be taking place on the 17th. So the next Wednesday after the 10th, we're going to come back on the 17th at 7 o'clock because there's no dinner. Okay, everybody hear that? No dinner at 6, all those rest of those Wednesdays, okay? Want to make sure you know. I don't want to be blamed for not giving anybody food, right? Because I know y'all know that it's my responsibility for the dinners, okay? So Don't come talking to me, because I've told you, I've given you warning after warning after warning, all right? What we're going to do, 7 o'clock, we're going to have our small group ministries. So in the past, we've done a variety of things, different kind of formats, different things. And what we're kind of doing is we want to try to start to transition a little bit. And we want to start to begin to streamline and focus our energy and really something a bit more specific under the core value. As you are out in our lobby and you will see on the wall, one of our core values is discipleship. And so what we want to do is we want to double our efforts in this area of discipleship. And part of that is our Wednesday night small group ministry. And so this semester, we've decided to kind of do a little bit of a hybrid, if you will, or a balance of what we've done in the past and what we're going to start to introduce a little bit. And so I want to introduce you to something called the Rooted Network. And the Rooted Network is a ministry, and what they do is they have something called the Rooted Experience. And I'm going to be leading a group of specific individuals, small, and it's leaders first, because we want to train up our leaders to then start this small group ministry that will launch for everyone in the spring semester of next year. And so we want to prepare ourselves for where we're going. But we knew that that was going to be a lot for everybody. So what we wanted to do is we wanted to start small. And so I'm going to train up some people, and we're going to start to go through a 10-week discipleship program called the Rooted Experience. Now, that's just one small group, right? But there's more people, there's more groups that we're going to offer. Absolutely. So we're going to do it this way. We're going to have a general Bible study small group that Twyla's going to be continuing to teach. And I know many of you know Twyla. She's a very gifted teacher. And so she's going to continue that. And I've already asked her, and I told her that she's on the docket for next spring to do the Rooted group. So she better remember that, okay? But we're going to have her teach a class. We're going to have a men's and we're going to have a women's small group. So a small group just primarily, specifically for women, general study. For men, general study. But we're going to go through each Wednesday that's not a first Wednesday. We're going to come together at 7 o'clock for our small groups. And that includes our Celebrate Recovery, by the way. So our Celebrate Recovery is actually continuing. We're going to change it a little bit. And we're going to kind of reduce the load, if you will, the workload that goes into a Celebrate Recovery meeting night, because it's a lot. And so we're going to actually all come together at 7. We're going to have our women's, our men's, our general Bible study, our Celebrate Recovery open share groups. And here's the thing that I want to encourage you also to remember. We're going to have a prayer small group. And that's going to be led by Robin Totten, our prayer ministry leader, and she's going to be leading a small group on prayer. Now, I don't want to speak for her, so I'm going to just kind of leave it at that. But I would encourage you, if you're hungry to grow in your faith, if you're hungry to grow in relationship with the body of Christ, if you're hungry to grow in what maybe God's called you to, leading you in maybe a season that you're struggling right now, can I encourage you, be a part of Journey Night. There are people who want to pray for you, who want to walk with you, who want to teach you, who want to journey together with you. We are not meant to live this life alone, church. And Journey Night is a great opportunity to do that. So let's review. September 10th. First Wednesday, 6 o'clock, we're going to have some dinner, and I've been told that we're going to have a big salad, too, because I know everybody loves that big salad, so we're going to have a big salad. I think we're going to have some pasta, too. I don't know. We'll have to figure that out yet, but let's come fellowship at 6, and at 7 o'clock, let's just rock the house for Jesus. Let's be in anticipation and worship and praise for what God is going to do, and I am excited for what's going to be happening. And if I've missed anything, and if you we're going to keep on announcing in the next couple days, or I'm sorry, next couple weeks. But if I missed anything, refer to your bulletin. You can go on our Church Center app. You can look at everything on there as well, our calendar. It's a great resource and a great tool. Amen? All right, I feel like I already preached the whole sermon. Goodness gracious. Well, we're doing the final week of Built Different. And if you haven't already figured it out, Pastor Brad has basically been preaching that you and I are built different than the world. Different, you know, different functions, different reasoning, different logic, different emotional responses, different behavioral responses. We're built different. And today, we're going to wrap that up, and the title of the sermon really today is, we're built different for a reason. But today I wanted to start, as we've done in the past, as Pastor Brad has done, I think every sermon or every built different sermons that he's done, I want us to recite, and they're going to put it up on the screen behind me, but I'd like for us to recite this together. So I'm going to say it, and then you repeat after me. I am not common. I am chosen. I am not random. I am redeemed. God formed me. God knows me. God calls me to stand out. I am built different. I am built different. We are different for a reason. Father God, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, I pray, God, just your anointing upon your word. This morning as I bring it, I pray, God, for your words, not mine. I pray, God, that it would go forth, that ears and eyes and hearts would be open, God, to what your Spirit wants to reveal. I pray, God, that you would just bless your people today, and Lord, that we would hear from you in a mighty way through your word. We ask this in your name. Amen. You're built different. You're built different. You know, I actually have something I want to actually show you real quick. I brought this out. John doesn't know I stole out of his, work area, and I grabbed some tools. And John, I promise I'll put these back. But I got these tools, and you know what these are? Does anybody want to? What are these? Hammers, right? They're hammers. Even this one here is a hammer, isn't it? Yeah. But you know what's interesting about a hammer? That they're all actually considered hammers, aren't they? Maybe we call that a mallet. I don't know. Mallet, you know, mallet. All right, let's not get all too technical here, anybody, because I have a mallet in my hand, right? You know what's interesting, though? That you can go into a hardware store and you can buy countless varieties of hammers. But you know what the interesting, and they all serve the same purpose, don't they? Hold on now. Hold on. I'm going to get to it, right? They all serve a purpose. They either, through force, will pound in a nail or pound something, you know? So force is one of the things that a hammer, through what? Leverage, right? You put those two together, you got a hammer. Now, hammer can be used for a lot of different things. But the interesting thing is, though, each hammer is designed for a different purpose. It's intended for a different job. So if there's anybody here that's in construction, and I didn't know this, by the way, until a couple years ago, that there is actually a hammer that's meant for framing houses. Like a specific hammer that's a framer's. A carpenter, framer, hammer. I didn't know. A hammer's a hammer. No, actually not. I mean, some of us have those little dinky ones that might be in our kitchen drawer, utility drawer, right? Just for when I need to tap in a little Brad nail to hang a picture or something, right? You don't want to bring the mallet, or even if I had a sledgehammer. You don't want to tap a sledgehammer to tap in a nail into your wall to just hang a picture.
you're going to have to get a carpenter or a drywaller to come and patch that, actually, is what will happen. But a hammer is a hammer. A hammer is designed to do similar things. But each hammer is a little bit different in its design and its intention. And folks, that's just like you and I. Because you and I have been chosen with intent. If I'm going to go and frame a house, I'm going to choose my tools accordingly. Makes sense, right? When God wants his purpose and plan for our lives, he chooses with intentions. Not random. Not by mistake. He chooses you and I with intent. Let's read 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 2. This is out of the NIV. It says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect, exiles scattered throughout the provinces of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to be obedient to Jesus Christ, sprinkled with his blood, grace and peace be yours in abundance. So Peter's writing to a group of individuals who are in those areas to encourage these specific believers, likely facing persecution, likely facing trials, right? The interesting is the persecution that this group of people are enduring, the persecution actually is coming from three primary places. It's from the Romans, from other Jews, and from those individual own families, right? So Peter is writing to remind and encourage these believers, you're chosen with intention. Look at the language that he uses, by the way. Verse 1, to God's elect. To God's elect. And then in verse 2, who have been chosen. This is not a random thing. You are chosen by God. And I'm not talking, church, you can get into theological conversations of predestination and all. Look, that's not what I'm referring to. What I'm referring to is that God the Father, look how Peter wrote this. He mentions the Trinity, by the way. He mentions God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And the three functions, let's say, that Peter describes. Verse 2, he says it this way. He says, the foreknowledge of God the Father. So God the Father knew. He knew, and he chose the foreknowledge of God the Father. Through the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit, the third person in the Trinity. So the work of the Holy Spirit inside of us, sanctifying us. Making us like Jesus, essentially. And then the last part is to the obedient Jesus Christ sprinkled with his blood. Through Jesus and working with the Holy Spirit, chosen by God the Father. Y'all see that? Isn't that cool? Peter lays that out, that you and I are chosen. It's purposeful, just like the carpenter. I'm going to build a house. I got to have the right tools. How many know, by the way, it helps when you have the right tools? Whatever I'm doing, can I just also say, disclaimer, I'm not a carpenter, and I oftentimes am frustrated because I don't have those right tools, and so you think that this should be an easy job, and you're trying to do it, and you're like, oh, man, if only I had the right tools. Or if only I had the person that could do it, knowledge. A builder doesn't choose his tools randomly. Neither does God. You have been chosen. You have been chosen. Why? Because like the hammer, you have a purpose, a specific design. We've already talked about this. You have a specific design that God has entrusted and incapable, or is placed in your capability, inside of you, your personality, your gifts, your talents, your history. All of those things make you specific to the foreknowledge of God. He chose you for his purpose. You have been chosen with intent. Church, your difference is not an accident. God placed you where you are to fulfill his plan in your family, in your community, in your world. I can't even express enough. Again, and many of you know my history as far as I was a counselor. And so oftentimes we're dealing with people's history, right? Trauma, all those things that people have lived through. Can I just tell you right now, God did not make a mistake. God has not forsaken you. God has an intention for your life, a purpose. Jeremiah 29:11, purpose and plan for your life because you have been chosen with intent. God did not make a mistake, and it is not random. We're built different, church. One of the other things that I want to share with you is that our differences, right? Our differences reflect God's holiness. Let's look at Leviticus 11:44. It says, I am the Lord your God. Consecrate yourselves and be holy because I am holy. Do not make yourselves unclean by any creature that moves along the ground. God makes a distinction of who he is and who and everything else is. Y'all follow that? He makes the declaration, I am holy. What does that mean? You are not. So what do we have to do? We have to consecrate ourselves to him in order to do what? To be holy. The world is an unholy place. We know that, right? We are to consecrate ourselves to be clean. Why? To reflect God's holiness. You can look at 1 Peter. We're going to look in the same book as we were just referencing. 1 Peter chapter 1, just a few verses later, verses 15 and 16, where it says, but just as he who called you is holy. Peter's referencing this too. He says, hey, remember, you are called, chosen by a holy God, right? Who are called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. We are called. We are built different. We are built to reflect God's holiness. He chose you. He called you. And he's calling you to be holy. The thought goes like this. Holiness is God's defining attribute. And his people, you and I, are called to reflect that very thing. Being different means being set apart in conduct, thought, and character. Remember when I just referenced a little bit ago, we're built different? Different emotional response, different logic. We don't see the world as the world sees it itself. Like, we see it through different eyes, through a different lens. Through the lens of Scripture, right? We see God and who he is, and he calls us by name, sets us apart with intent, and we are called to be holy. We're called to act different, to be different, to think different. You know, when you look in the mirror only reflects what it's facing, right? Some of us like what we see sometimes. Some of us don't. Y'all, that's life, right? But just think about that, right? That mirror reflects only what it's facing. If you and I are reflecting the world, what does that mean for us? It means we're not facing the right thing, if you will, right? If we're facing God, my hope, my prayer is that you allow that then to come out in that reflection. What? You reflect God. You reflect that holiness. That's why your actions, your thoughts, your emotional responses, those things will be different. I'm not saying they're going to be perfect. And I'm not saying that that's not the, again, sanctification, the work of the Holy Spirit to help refine those things as we grow and are journeying together. Hello, Journey Night. Those things are always being worked out. But my prayer and my hope is, as what we're called to do, consecrate ourselves, be holy, that we are reflecting, because you and I are built different, God's attribute of holiness to be set apart. It's not withdrawing from culture. It's being a clear witness in it. Y'all, you know that you live in the world. We're here. But how do I be a clear witness in it? It's a life that shows God's purity, integrity. And I think back just a couple weeks, I think, when Pastor Brad talked about blurred lines, right? You want to stand out? You got to stand up. You have to. If we as believers say that we attest to Scripture and we stand up for that, well, then you got to stand up. You have to, and you stand up by being the witness that He has called you and I to be. That's not being a bully, taking that hammer and saying, I'm going to hammer the Scripture into your head. That doesn't work, by the way. I'm just going to just give you that clear, that does not work. Don't try to do that. Don't leave here today. Mike said to take a hammer and apply Scripture with it. So, no. Are you and I being a clear witness to this world that we live in? You know, when we do this, we are able then to point people to God. So my reflection, giving off and reflecting God's attribute of holiness, because I am built different, because I'm chosen with intent, what does that mean? That means that I have to do this third thing. I have to point people to God. Are we doing that? Am I pointing people to the Lord? Matthew 5:16 says, in the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Are you and I being glorified? No. Who does it say? Glorify your Father in heaven. It ain't about us, y'all. It's not about you and I. It's about what He's done in us and through us, that we point people back to God. You and I are built different. 1 Peter 2:9. We're using Peter a lot here. He says it this way, but you are a chosen people. Oh, hello, chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, right? Set apart, holy nation. God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into this wonderful light. You and I are built different, and you and I are to point people to Christ. Through our words, actions, witness, testimony, fill in the blank. You and I are to do that. The thought goes like this: God sets His people apart not to draw attention to themselves, but to direct others to Him. The church is not the destination. It's the signpost. We are to reflect His holiness. We are called to be set apart, to consecrate ourselves. We are called and chosen with intention, and the life that you have and the giftings that you have and the history that you have all go together in order to do that. Point people to Christ. You and I, Cross Point Church, the Church of Jesus, that's not where it ends. We are to point to Christ in order for those to follow Christ. Think about it this way. I don't know how many of you have flown before, and if you're flying at night, right, it's kind of always, it's neat to look out the window as you're coming down and you see the landing, you know, maybe the runway, depending upon how you're coming in. You see the lights. Those runway lights, right? Those have a specific purpose. They're not pointing to themselves, so to speak, right? They're a guide to the pilots, right? They're a guide to safety. You want to know how far you are? You want to know how far away you are? You want to know how high you are, in a sense? And some of that, those airplane runway lights give you that ability, give those pilots the ability. It's like this, our difference exists to point people to our Savior. It's not about me. And if we have that attitude, God help me. God help us as a church. We're a part of it, but it's not about me. It's about Him and who I'm pointing people to. And that means like every action, every word, every choice should help others to see God more clearly through us. How about you go back to that question that I asked when we did communion, when to say, I want you to examine your heart. Can we just be real for a second and just ask ourselves, do you do that? Have you been doing it? How well do you do that? And I don't mean it to, I'm not trying to say it in a judgmental way. That's not, trust me. But we have to take inventory of that, don't we, as believers in Jesus? Am I pointing people to Christ through my actions and behaviors, my words, my choices? All of those things should reflect Him, should be coming out of a place of holiness, not holier than thou, by the way. I want to make that distinction, right? Holiness. All of those things should be, like those landing lights, be a reflection to Christ. Not because it's about you and I, it's about Him. One of the last things is you know, we're built different. And God has done an amazing thing. In this last point, I think it's just a really cool point. You know, we're built different, and how we show that is the difference that you and I are built because we have the ability to show God's power. We do. We see it in Scripture. Acts 1:8 says it this way, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. You will receive what? Power. What? And they needed it. That was in Acts, Acts chapter 1. You know, but if you go to Matthew's gospel, and at the end of it, when Jesus is just about ready to ascend, he says it this way in Matthew 28:19. He says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. They needed power. You and I need power. And God has created and entrusted us to receive it, because he says, you, everyone here, you will receive power. And we need that power. Why? Because that command, that commission in Matthew's gospel applies to you and I. And guess what, church? You and I cannot do that on our own. You and I don't have enough hammers to do that. It is only through the power of his Holy Spirit that equips us, that enables us, that gives us the strength, that speaks to us, that moves through us. That power, right? It's one of the most powerful ways, displaying examples, right, of power is the very fact that it is found within you and I. You ever thought about that? Is that not amazing to think about? You and I have that power within us when the Holy Spirit comes upon us. You and I have that power. That in of itself, that's a whole sermon, right? Right there. But isn't that amazing to think about? That God would choose me. God the Father, the foreknowledge of God the Father, chose and elected me. Chose me. With intention. Why? Because he knew he created me for a purpose. He specifically created me. There is no one else on the face of the planet that's like me and that's like you. Think about that. God chose you. And inside of you, he chose to give you the gift of the Holy Spirit, the power to do what? To do that thing right there. To go and make disciples. What an amazing thing. Because he displays his power through weak vessels, doesn't he? He displays his power through you and you. And I'm not trying to say anybody's weak here. I'm not, you know, but he displays his power in the most unlikely things, doesn't he? A person named Mike, who's flawed, who's made incredible mistakes in my life. But you know what the amazing thing is? Through his grace and his mercy and his Holy Spirit, he chose me and he's given me power, and he does that with each and every one of us. He uses the most unlikely people, the most unlikely vessels to then what? To glorify his name, to make his name known, to point back to him, for us to do the very thing that he's called us to do. It's one of the most amazing things. 2 Corinthians, Paul talks about it. 4:7, he says it this way, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. It ain't about us, right? It's not about us. It's about him. And it's about what he's done for us through his election, choosing you and I, giving us those tools and gifts specific to you because he has an intentional plan for your life. We're built different to show his attribute of holiness. We're built different to reflect that. We're built different. But he chooses to do that through a very weak vessel, a jar of clay. And in that jar of clay, there's something so priceless. The gift that he's given us, Paul talks about. He says, we have this treasure, this all-surpassing power inside of you and I. Folks, that's why testimonies work so well. Because I was this way and now I'm this way, right? I am the least of the vessels, if you will. God chose to do that. I kind of have a saying, like, just I say it this way: you were built for this. You and I were built for this. We're built different. We are sons and daughters of the Most High. You and I are built different. Do you know what? You were built for this too. You were built to have the power of His Holy Spirit in you, to reflect His holiness. You were chosen. You were chosen with intention. You are built different. Our changed lives, our answered prayers, our bold witness demonstrate that God is real, alive, and powerful. Is that true for you, church? Say it again. Our changed lives, our answered prayers, our bold witness demonstrate that God is real, He's alive, and He's powerful. You got to ask the question, is that you this morning? Because that's what God wants to do. That's what God wants to birth in you, show in you. That's what God wants you to reflect. That's what God wants you to walk in the truth of that and the intention of that. That you are chosen, not random. That your life has purpose, has meaning in Him. And that purpose and that meaning has to go forth because of the power that He's given through His Holy Spirit to then point people to Jesus Christ. That's really what it is. You and I are built different. You and I are built for that. I wanted to just, as we close this morning, I'd like us to end this way. Pastor Brad has kind of led us through these church, kind of a charge, right? A proclamation, if you will. And would you be so kind? Would you stand with me as we close this morning? And I want us to say these things out loud together as a church, to proclaim His truth in this way, to remind ourselves and to challenge ourselves as we go forth today to be reminded of the fact that you are built different, and you are built different for a very specific reason. Not random, not flippantly. Folks, you and I are built different. You and I are built for this. They're going to have that on the screen behind me. But would you just say these words after me? I am not different by accident. I am different by assignment. Chosen with intent. Reflecting God's holiness. Pointing people to Him. Showing His power. I am different for a reason. And the world needs to see it. Give Him praise. Come on, church. Church, as we close today, I'm going to pray, and we're going to just sing as kind of sing our way out. But I'm going to pray. Just remember, you are built different. You're built with a purpose and a plan for your life. Father God, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, I thank you, God, for this church. I thank you, God, for your word. I pray, God, that it would go forth, that your spirit would speak to people, God, joining us online, here in the house. I pray, God, that you would remind us today that we are built different, that we are to reflect your holiness, to be set apart, to point people to Jesus Christ. And I pray, God, that your spirit would equip and empower us in a new way, God. I pray, God, just as the word said, you will receive power. I pray, God, Holy Spirit, come upon us in that way. Holy Spirit, I just thank you, God, for equipping and enabling us, and I pray, God, just your blessing on this church today as we conclude. Father God, we give you the praise, we give you all the honor, because it's all about you, not about us. And Lord, we just speak it in the name of Jesus, and we ask this in your precious and holy name. And everyone said, amen. Church, God love you, God bless you. We'll see you next.